ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 Chapter 20, entitled Lord Vishnu's Appearance in the Sacrificial Arena of Maharaj Prithu. Text number 1. Maitreya Uvacha Bhagavan Api Vaikuntha Sagham Maghavata Vibhu यज्ञे यज्ञपतिस्तुष्टो यज्ञभुक्तम् अभाषत मैत्रेय उवाच भगवानपि वैकुण्ठ साकं मघवता विभुः यज्ञपतिस्तुष्टो यज्ञभुक्तम् अभाषत मैत्रेय उवाच भगवानपि वैकुण्ठ साकं मघवता विभु यज्ञैर्यज्ञपतिस्तुष्टो यज्ञभुक्तम् अभाषत Word to word translation. Maitreya Uvacha. The great sage Maitreya continued to speak. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishnu. Api. Also. Vaikunthaha. The Lord of Vaikuntha. Sakam. Along with. Maghavata, King Indra, Vibhu, the Lord, Yajnaihi, by the sacrifices, Yajnapatihi, the Lord of all Yajnas, Tushtaha, satisfied, Yajnabhuk, the enjoyer of the Yajna, Tam, unto King Prithu, Abhashata said, the great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, being very much satisfied by the performance of 99 horse sacrifices, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, appeared on the scene. Accompanying him was King Indra. Lord Vishnu then began to speak. There's no purport. We'll read the next one. Verse number 2. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Eshate Kashid Bhangam Hayametha Shadasyaha Kshamapayata Atmanam Amukshya Amushya Kshandumarhasi. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear King Prithu, Indra, the King of Heaven, has disturbed your execution of 100 sacrifices. Now he has come with me to be forgiven by you. Therefore, excuse him. Purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? It's a short purport. In this verse, the word Atmanam is very significant. It's a custom among yogis and jnanis to address one another or even an ordinary man as one's self. For a transcendentalist, never accepts a living being to be the body. Since the individual self is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the self and the super self are qualitatively non-different. As the next verse will explain, the body is only a superficial covering, and consequently, an advanced transcendentalist will not make a distinction between oneself and another. Text 3. സുധിയസാധവോ ലോകേ നരദേവാ നരോത്തമാഃ നാഭിദ്രുഹ്യന്തി ഭൂതേഭ്യോ യേർഹി നാത്മകലേവരം. ഓ കിങ്, വൺ ഹു ഇസ് അഡ്വാൻസ്ഡ് ഇൻ ഇന്റലിജൻസ് ആൻഡ് ഈഗർ ടു പെർഫോം വെൽഫെയർ ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ് ഫോർ അതേഴ്സ് ഈസ് കൺസിഡേർഡ് ബെസ്റ്റ് എമംഗ് ഹ്യൂമൻ ബീയിങ്സ്. An advanced human being is never malicious to others. Those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is different from the soul. Purport. In daily life, we find that when a madman commits murder, he is excused even by a high court judge. The idea is that a living entity is always pure because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he falls into the clutches of material energy, he becomes a victim of the three modes of material nature. Indeed, whatever he does under the influence of material nature, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 5:14. Na kartrutvam na karmani lokasya srijata prabhu na karma phala samyogam svabhavastu pravartate. The embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material nature. Actually, the living entity or soul does not do anything. Everything is done under the influence of the modes of material nature. When a man is deceased, the symptoms of the disease becomes a source of all kind of pain. Those who are advanced in transcendental consciousness or Krishna consciousness are never envious, neither of the soul nor of the activities of consciousness. Activities of the soul under the influence of material nature. Advanced transcendentalists are called Sudhiyaha. Sudhi means intelligence. Sudhi means highly advanced, and Sudhi means devotee. One who is both devoted and highly advanced in intelligence does not take action against the soul or the body. If there is any discrepancy, he forgives. It is said that forgiveness is a quality of those who are advancing in spiritual knowledge. Om Jnanatimiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha ശ്രീ ചൈതന്യ മനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപ കദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീ ഗുരോ ശ്രീയുതാ പദകമലം ശ്രീ ഗുരുന് വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീ രൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണാ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപാദാന് സഹഗണലളിതാ ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗത്പദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധ ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഭൂതൈർമഹാധ്വര്യൈ മാപുരോ വിഭോ നിർമായ ശേതേ യതമൂഷ പുരുഷ ഭുങ്ക്തേ ഗുണാൻ ഷോഡശ ഷോഡശാത്മക സോലങ്കൃഷീഷ്ട ഭഗവാൻ വചാംസി മേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ. ഹിയർ വി ആർ സ്റ്റാർട്ടിംഗ് ദ ന്യൂ ചാപ്റ്റർ വെറിൻ ദ ലോർഡ് ഹാസ് പേഴ്സണലി അപ്പിയർഡ് ആഫ്റ്റർ ദ 99 ഹോർസ് സാക്രിഫൈസസ് പെർഫോംഡ് ബൈ മഹാരാജ് പൃഥു. However, there is a slight difference between usual Vedic sacrifices that have been performed by different kings and this one. Usually, in the Vedic sacrifices, in the yajnas, when it is properly executed by the priests under the yajamana, the king, then all the demigods, they come one by one and they do take part in the sacrifice and they accept the oblations, the offerings. However, here we can see that the Lord has to bring Indra along with him. If you see the Vedic times, especially the previous yugas, all the people, all the citizens of the country, all the subjects of the country were very much thrilled to take part in the Vedic sacrifices. So it used to be a show in itself. It's not just a show, but it used to be a show in itself. The reason is, just like when we go to MCG, there is a footy match or a cricket match, the whole Melbourne, you know, 100,000, 50,000, I don't know how many people, all the people go there, they're assembled to see the match. And you can see people coming, they are playing, somebody is cheering up, and somebody is winning, somebody is losing, and there are magic moments. So the whole subjects are involved in such a frivolous game. However, in the Vedic times, when the qualified kings along with the qualified priests, when they perform the sacrifices, all the subjects, they used to assemble and they used to witness the sacrifice, they used to take part in the sacrifices, and to their amazement and to their good fortune, all the demigods used to appear personally. And finally, even Lord Vishnu would come personally and he would accept the offerings offered by his pure devotees. So, in the previous ages, interplanetary travel was the norm. However, currently, the demigods think that we are totally unqualified. They are disgusted with the current affairs of this earth planet. So they don't want to come. They don't want to see the animals are being slaughtered. They don't want to be in a place where the cows are being slaughtered. They don't want to be in a place where there are no proper brahmanas. Even if there are some brahmanas, they are not respected. So they don't want to see that. They don't want to be part of such things. And of course, we don't have anything pure in this world. We don't have even pure ghee. There are no pure flowers. There is no pure food. So everything is contaminated. So in Kali Yuga, the demigods, they don't appear personally. However, here we can see that the demigods usually come and the Supreme Lord would also come personally to the sacrifice to bless the devotees and, if qualified, give benedictions to the devotees. And there are many examples to this in Srimad Bhagavatam. Even we can see in Anga, we can see other great kings who perform sacrifice. When they're done properly, then they got the result out of the sacrifice. Now here, Indra didn't come before because Indra has done some mistakes multiple times by stealing the horse which Pritha Maharaj was performing the horse sacrifice, and in different ways Indra came and stole the horse first time, second time. So, and then he inaugurated different kinds of false renounced ashrams, false renounced order of lives, false sannyasis. It is very prominent in the age of Kali, but it was started from the time of Pritha Maharaj, and the inaugurator was Indra himself, unfortunately. So Indra didn't have any stand. He couldn't come by himself. So finally he had to take shelter of the Lord, and the Lord himself had to bring him. And then here we can see that the Lord is requesting, advocating on behalf of Indra. Please forgive him. So this is an interesting situation. Because if you see in a normal scenario, Indra has done a mistake. He has stolen the sacrificial horse, not one time, more than one time. He has accepted saffron cloth and he just created false sannyasis. So he has done mistakes. And still the Lord is asking Prithu Maharaj to forgive him. One option could be he could have, or even Lord Brahma could have punished Indra. He could have chastised Indra. Other options are he could have chastised Prithu Maharaj and he could have punished Prithu Maharaj. So if you see the options, we can see that ultimately they are asking Prithu Maharaj to forgive Indra rather than punishing him or chastising him. And there are reasons behind that. So why is it so? On one side we can see that Lord Brahma as well as the Lord himself were not very pleased that Prithu Maharaj was trying to kill Indra, because that is a very going into a bit deep end, going too far to trying to kill Indra, because the priest told, I can chant mantra, I can bring Indra right into the sacrifice, and you can just burn him into ashes. So that is a bit of going too far in terms of punishment. So on one side we can see that. And on the other side, we can see that Indra was still attached. He was acting on material consciousness, whereas Prithu Maharaj is supposed to act on spiritual consciousness, on transcendental consciousness. So here, a judgment is made based on consciousness of Indra and consciousness of Prithu Maharaj. Now, here the specific reason that is given is that an intelligent person is supposed to distinguish between body and the soul. So the reason the Lord tells Prithu Maharaj is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. You are not the body, you are the soul. So since you are an intelligent person, you need to understand that you are the soul and you are not the body. So you need to forgive Indra even though he has committed this mistake. We may think, we have heard this philosophy so many times. We are not the body, we are the soul. You know, it almost become like, you know, every lecture we hear, what, anything new in it? We may think like that. However, when we come to this basic but the most important understanding that we are not the body, we are not the mind, we are the spirit self, Krishna presents that in the 2.13 to start with in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Dehinosam yada dehe kaumaram yavananjara tadha dehandara prapta dhira satvanda mukheti. And after that, the next verse, what does Krishna speaks? He says, what is that? Matras parshyastu kaunteya shitoshna samadukhada agamo paino nitya tamti tiksha sabharata. He tells, alright, the dualities are part of the nature, part of this nature, part of this material world. You know, there can be heat and cold, there can be changing of season, there can be happiness and distress, but you need to tolerate them if you want to make advancement in spiritual life. We cannot make our spiritual life dependent on dualities. Rather, we need to go beyond dualities if we want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So, this is the next statement. After Krishna makes the point that we are not the body, we are the soul. So there is an implication, there are lessons. After this, okay, this is what we need to practice. Similarly, here, in one sense he's making the point, you need to tolerate. And the next step is forgive. We will have to tolerate. So in the context of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjun that even though you had to fight against your relatives, it's your duty and this is what I want you to do. So you have to do it. You need to tolerate your mind. You need to tolerate your emotions that you have for your relatives. So this is the tolerance in the context of Bhagavad Gita. In fact, one time, Shrutakirti Prabhu, who was the longest servant of Srila Prabhupada, he was mentioning here in Melbourne, Shrutakirti Prabhu was traveling and serving Srila Prabhupada, and then he got married. And he got married, then he didn't want to travel with Srila Prabhupada. He wanted to take a break and he wanted to continue his family life in Hawaii. So he was just trying to tell, and this was in his mind. And Srila Prabhupada understood what was actually going on in the mind of Shruta Kirti Prabhu. So in Hawaii, near the temple, there was a painting of Arjuna fighting in the chariot. Krishna and Arjuna are there, and Arjuna is fighting. Then Srila Prabhupada looked at this painting and he told, here see, Krishna is telling Arjuna to kill his family. Pointing out that, you know, Prabhu wanted to actually, he has difficulty leaving the family for some time. Rather, now he's telling, in service of Krishna, he's asking Arjuna to kill his family. Think about that. So making the point that in serving Krishna, we may have to tolerate different things. Of course, we don't have to kill our family members. We can help them. So that's a different context. We shouldn't mistake the understand the scene setting there. Then it comes to the point of forgiveness. So tolerance, along with the tolerance, the next stage is forgiveness. That is higher than, it's not just tolerating, rather forgiving. And why is it so? Because Prithu is a Shaktiyavesh avatar, an empowered incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And he came to establish Dharma. And he needs to act on transcendental consciousness rather than thinking in a revengeful way. Even though we can see Indra, he's materially attached. He may not even stop creating newer and newer upper sampradayas, newer and newer sannyas ashrams which are not bona fide. So Indra has no choice but to act in a conditioned way. But Prithu Maharaj being elevated, he has a choice to act on transcendental platform. So here the Lord himself is telling, please forgive him. Here is a very interesting pastime took place in 1971 in New York Temple. So this is a recollection by His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj then was a brahmachari, Ghanashyam Das Brahmachari. He is from a very highly educated background. He is a graduate from the Princeton University. He was working as a public defender. And then he joined the temple and he lived there for some time. And then he got an opportunity in 1971 to get a personal darshan of Srila Prabhupada. So it's a very rare opportunity to personally talk to Srila Prabhupada. Not all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples got that opportunity. So he found himself very fortunate to speak to Srila Prabhupada personally. So he told Srila Prabhupada that in your society, he was quite new, in your society, there is prejudice. There is a kind of discrimination. Hinting that he's from an African background, so his body is black. So he is being discriminated because of his skin. So he was hinting towards that. Srila Prabhupada immediately told, oh, some people are acting on bodily consciousness. However, if you are also disturbed because of their action, then what is the difference between them and you? So Bhaktivedanta Maharaj makes his point that Prabhupada actually corrected me, giving me the understanding that some may act in that way, but if I am disturbed and if I am carrying that with me, then what is the difference between those people and myself? So it's a very instructive lesson showing, you know, how to see things in the proper way, in the proper context. Prabhupada is very instructive in this regard. So Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that Prabhupada always comes up with so many analogies. If you read his purports, if you hear his lectures or room conversations or morning walks, you can see Prabhupada is coming with so many examples, so many analogies to explain things. So devotees asked, you know, Prabhupada, how do you come up with so many analogies? Prabhupada said, I am thinking constantly that how can I explain you and convince you that you are not the body, but you are the spirit soul. So I am actually thinking so much to make you understand that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. So Prabhupada, as an acharya, as a teacher, he was really trying to teach us. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the, I think it's the second chapter, 35th verse, there is a long purport by Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada is quoting Jiva Goswami, I think Paramatma Sandarbha, and systematically explaining based on the principle of the difference between the seer and the seen. Establishing that what is seen and who is the seer. Showing seen can be the material body, the sense objects, etc., whatever are around, including the mind and all the senses, sense objects, everything, that is the seen. And the seer, that is us. And then also he brings another point that we are dependent. To function in this world, we are dependent on the intelligence. And where is the intelligence coming from? Is the intelligence our property? Is the memory our property? Not really. If it is fully under, if it's our property, then it has to be under our control. Can our memory work according to our control? Whenever we want, can we remember everything? No, it doesn't work. Can the intelligence, even though we call it our intelligence or my intelligence, can it actually function the way I want at any given point in time? It doesn't work. So we are dependent. Then he shows that based on the dependency, he's showing that, okay, there is something superior. The Prabhupada uses many different kinds of logics to explain this point. And this particular one is coming from Jiva Goswami in the Paramatma Sandarbha. So he makes a point that we can use logic and reasoning to establish that we are not the body, rather we are the spirit soul. We can see, with logic we can see that, okay, we may not be realized, but at least with logic and reason we can understand we are beyond the body and the mind. So it's very important. So Prabhupada is really presenting this, and in Bhagavad Gita it comes to the point that if one understands, if one realizes, not just theorize, but if you come to the platform of realizing that we are the spirit soul, then what is one's behavior? In the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks. It's very, very close point as it's mentioned here. It's 632. Atmopanyena sarvatra samam pasyati sarvasha sukham va yadiva dukham sa yogi paramopata. That is atma upamanyena. That is by comparison of the self. One who is a real yogi, a perfect yogi, he compares oneself. I am a spirit soul and he can see everyone else is a spirit soul. So there is an equality between everyone. At the same time, everyone is under the modes of material nature, and that's why there is sukham va yadiva dukham. So people are going through difficulties or people are going through some good times. So one can see the spiritual equality, at the same time one can see the dualities that is running in oneself and in everyone else. So if one can see and if one acts on that platform, that is the platform of tolerance, that is the platform of forgiveness. That's why here the Lord himself is making this point. That is, one who is advanced in intelligence and eager to perform welfare activities for others is considered to be the best among human beings. So he's, those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is different from the soul. So if you try to realize, if you try to act on the platform of the spiritual self, then we try to develop these qualities. We try to see what are our shortcomings and how we can go further. So here, in this purport, in the third verse purport, a very strong point is mentioned, who is the doer? That is actually mentioned in this purport, quoting 514, that the emphasis is given on the material nature. So here, in this case of Indra, it is mentioned, Indra is completely under the clutches of the material nature. So he is worried about his position. So he is afflicted by passion and ignorance. So he is acting in a way to keep up his position. So he doesn't want, he sees threat and he wants to protect himself. That's why he is defending. So that is the condition of Indra. And so the Lord is telling Pradhu Maharaj, okay, you need to tolerate. You need to give forgiveness. So this is the point the Lord is making here. And here Prabhupada is writing, even a high court judge forgives if a person is mad. There could be a criminal, but if he is completely deranged, if he is mad, then even according to the laws of court, then you have to give forgiveness. You cannot do much. So this is the point. At the same time, we can understand it's not that material nature is the only cause, or he is not the material nature is the only doer. There are three doers. Just like if you take the example that father has given some pocket money to his son. So his son goes, he's a bit naughty, he drinks, he gets into fight, and he creates a lot of trouble. And then the police comes, and arrests him. The cops take him. Then we can possibly argue in three different ways. One can say that the son, he is responsible for whatever mischief that he has done or whatever atrocities that he has performed, because he's the one who did it. One could say that no, it's a problem with the alcohol, because he consumed the spirit, so that is the problem with the alcohol. Actually, people argue like that. It was not me. It is the drugs. It is the alcohol. There is a really in the real court cases, people do argue in that way. It's not just me because of the substances. I got into trouble. It's not just me. And third one is, it is the father, because father gave the money. Why did the father have given the money? If he hadn't given the money, then no problem. So now the point is, yes, all three have their parts. But ultimate responsibility is given to the person who did the crime, even though others are involved in one sense. So this example is given just like, if you perform any activities, the Lord's sanction has to be there. Even if a criminal commits a crime, the Lord is a sanctioner. Upadrishta Animandacha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaram. The Lord is the sanctioner, He is the witness. Then, of course, everyone is acting under the material nature, as it is mentioned here. Manu is bewildered by the three modes of material nature. He considers himself as the act, he is doing everything, but it's actually done by the modes of material nature. The same point is mentioned here. Na kartrutvam na karmani. Na kartrutvam. The jiva is not really doing it. Na karmani. Logas is srijita prabhu. Na karma phala samyoga svabhavastu pravartate. Here is mentioned svabhavastu pravartate. That is, the modes of material nature are working. It is not the person. So even though three people are responsible, the modes of material nature, one can call the circumstances, the person himself and the Supreme Lord, the responsibility is given for the person, because the person has some free will. He can choose how to act, especially in the human form of life. So here, Indra is completely under the influence of the modes of material nature, and to avoid further problems, the Lord, as well as Lord Brahma, have advised Prithu to forgive him. Now, there is another reason also for forgiveness. It is the quality of a devotee. It is the quality of a person getting advanced in spiritual life. As well as, it is the quality of the Supreme Lord to forgive. Lord forgives. There is a mention in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhrityasya pasyati guru napi na parathan seva managa vikrutam bahudha pyubhaiti avishkaroti pishinesha bina phyasuya shilena nirmalamati purushottamoyam. Here, it is mentioned that it's mentioning the wonderful qualities of the Supreme Lord. Bhrityasya pasyati guru napi na parathan. Even a devotee commits a grave offense, the Lord is so merciful that he thinks it is not so serious. He just forgives even such a great offense by his devotees. Bhrityasya pashyati guru napi. Guru means very serious. Na aparadhan. Seva manakapi kritam bahudha pibhayati. Even one performs a little bit of service. Manak means very minimal. To get by. We do some service to get by sometimes. So even one does some little bit of service, the Lord thinks, bahudha pyubhaiti. He thinks, oh, this devotee has done so much of service to me. Actually speaking, how much service can we do? And does the Lord needs anything? He doesn't need anything. He has been served by so many Lakshmis. In the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, he makes this point that one may think that Lord is after his glorification. He wants to hear his glories. But the reality is that he has inexhaustible glories, and the Lord, no one can increase the glories of the Lord. But he is kind enough to accept the glorification for our benefit. And he gives the example that if you are in front of a mirror, if you want to decorate the reflection on the mirror We cannot go to the mirror and we cannot paint the mirror. Right? We go to a beauty salon if you want to, you know, apply some cream or something or make it more fair. You cannot apply that on the mirror, it's not going to help. Rather, you have to apply on your own face. In the same way, if you serve the Lord, if you decorate the Lord, or if you glorify the Lord, then the devotee becomes glorified. We cannot increase the glories of the Supreme Lord. Not possible. Because He is always glorious. And there is no end to the glory of the Lord. Krishna knows everything, but at the same time, there is no end to His glories. So one may ask this question. Okay, the Lord knows everything. And He doesn't know the end of His own glories. How is it possible? How is it possible? Because it is just like if someone mentions that, you know, the goat, if you say, have you seen human tail for a human? No. Have you seen tail for a human being? No, but it doesn't exist. Similarly, the end of the Lord's glories doesn't exist. That isn't, the Lord Himself doesn't know the end of His glories. Because that doesn't exist. So for such a person, how can we glorify? So whatever glorification, whatever services that we perform, it's for our benefit. It's not for His benefit. That's why, seva managa vikritam bahudha pibeti avishkarodi pishneshvi na abhisuya. Even somebody is against, if he's very envious of the Lord, still the Lord is not envious of him. He is doing all good for such a person. Even if he is killing someone, even if the Lord is killing someone, the Lord is giving the highest benefit. And he mentions, Chirena Nirmalamati Purushottamayam. Such are His wonderful qualities. This is the Lord's quality. So the Lord, by nature, is forgiving. And if one is increasing, one is actually developing one's consciousness, one is becoming Krishna conscious, then one has to develop the quality of forgiveness. That's what is mentioned here. And in the 9th chapter, 14th chapter, 50th verse, it is mentioned that, it's a very beautiful verse, the duty of a Brahmana is to culture the quality of forgiveness, which is illuminating like the sun. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is pleased with those who are forgiving. So here, as I mentioned, Brahmana means he has to develop the quality of forgiveness. That is, it's considered, that is the highest quality of a Brahmana. He can forgive. So here in the purport, Chanakya Pandit mentions that a cuckoo bird, even though very black, the singing is very sweet. So the quality of a cuckoo bird is not its beauty, rather the voice, the singing. The quality of a kshatriya is his chivalry nature. He can actually go. He can, you know, he can go and fight. He can be upfront. That is the nature of a kshatriya. Similarly, the nature of a brahmana is forgiveness. And then you consider the nature of a vaishya is, you know, he is giving in charity. You know, he looks after everything. You know, and he is ready to offer everything to other people in return. So there are different qualities, whereas Shudra, the quality is faithful, he's a faithful servant. So for a Brahminical quality is forgiveness. So here, Prithu Maharaj is meant to act on the Brahminical platform because he is a Shaktiavashavatar and, you know, he is an empowerment of the Lord. So that's why the Lord is mentioning another reason to suggest him, okay, you have to act on the Brahminical platform. So yes, we can see that after hearing these instructions, Prithu Maharaj forgives King Indra, and King Indra comes and asks for forgiveness. So the whole thing becomes quite peaceful. Now today is a special day because today is the appearance of one of the great Goswamis. His name is Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So we hear some of the glories of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So we can see the characteristics and the divine qualities of great devotees of the Lord. So Gopala Bhatta Goswami, he was born in Srirangam. So in South India, where the Ranganatha Kshetra is the Ranga Kshetra, there Gopala Bhatta Goswami was born. And later he became one of the six Goswamis. Well-known person, guru, well-known author, a great acharya in our sampradaya. So Gopala Bhatta Goswami was born to a Vaishnava family, specifically a Sri Vaishnava family in the Ramanuja Sampradaya. And Sridangam is known for the Lord as well as for so many great devotees, including Yamunacharya, including Kulasekhar Alvar. And here, the father of Gopalabhatta Goswami was Venkatabhatta. And his uncle, that is Venkatabhatta's brother, was Tirumalabhatta as well as Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. So he was born in a family of great acharyas. So Mahaprabhu, during his South Indian Yatra, he visits Srirangam, Rangakshetra. Mahaprabhu's visit to South India is considered very special. The reason is, Mahaprabhu could manifest all his power in South India, which he couldn't manifest in Godadesh, in Bengal. The reason is, in Bengal, in Mayapur, Navadvip, all had already became his devotees and all were already engaged in chanting and dancing. So it was not his preaching ground, even though he preached to Prakashananda Saraswati, he preached to, you know, he made, you know, Changasi a devotee, later other people, but it is limited. However, when he came to South India, he had the greatest opportunity to manifest his magnanimity, to spread love of Godhead without any restrictions. So what he would do, he would go from village to village along with his associates. And he was not giving any Bhagavatam classes. He was not giving any Bhagavad Gita classes. His preaching method was chanting and dancing. So all the devotees will make a big kirtan, many devotees playing mridanga, many devotees playing kartal, and many devotees beautifully singing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And in the middle, Gauranga Sundar would dancing and chanting. So just by witnessing such ecstatic chanting and dancing, all the villagers would become devotees of the Lord. So he was converting village after village to Gaudiya Vaishnavas, all of them becoming devotees of Krishna. Everyone was chanting and dancing. So this was happening village after village, and then he reached Rangakshetra, Srirangam. So when Mahaprabhu reached Srirangam, there were all great devotees present. They could understand that Mahaprabhu was a great devotee. Many of them couldn't recognize his supremacy, but they could straight away understand that Mahaprabhu was a great devotee, and witnessing his chanting and dancing, they understood he is in ecstasy, he is in love of Godhead. Then all the devotees in Srirangam, they wanted to host Mahaprabhu. They were inviting Mahaprabhu, please come, Mahaprabhu, please come to our place. We will cook lunch for you. Please partake in the lunch. So all the devotees were inviting Mahaprabhu to their own houses. They wanted to bless their house by the presence of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya stayed there for 4 months and he accepted many invitations. However, there was one devotee who was most fortunate, and that was Venkatabhatta. Because Mahaprabhu agreed to stay at the place of Venkatabhatta. If you go to Srirangam, still now there is the house of Venkatabhatta, there is the descendants of Venkatabhatta, and there is the deities of Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra worshipped by Mahaprabhu himself. He carved the deities of Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra and he worshipped them. So he stayed at the place of Venkatabhatta, and Venkatabhatta was in ecstasy and he took all care of Mahaprabhu. There, Venkatabhatta's son was there as a young boy, Gopalabhatta. So Gopalabhatta was also engaged in serving Mahaprabhu and he developed deep attachment for Mahaprabhu. You have to understand, Gopalabhatta by birth is a great devotee, and here we have Mahaprabhu, he is the supreme personality of Godhead. Assume if there is a nice person, if you are interacting with a nice person for some time, after a short while we develop some kind of affection for such a person. We develop certain kind of attachment for such a person. Now think, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is all attractive, he is all beautiful, He has all good qualities, and you are serving him personally, and the Lord himself is reciprocating with you. How much attachment one would develop. So Gopalabhatta became completely attached to the Lord Chaitanya. There was this wonderful conversation took place between Venkatabhatta and Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, in a funny mood, in a, you know, playful, sporty mood, he asked Venkatabhatta, "You are worshipping Narayan. Ranganath is there. Ranganath is Lord Narayan. And Lakshmi Devi is the eternal consort, the most chaste consort of Lord Narayan himself. Then why is it mentioned in the scriptures, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Lakshmi Devi is seeking the association of Lord Krishna and she wants to participate in the rasa dance? Why is it so?" So Venkatabhatta says, "Yeah, there is nothing wrong in it, because ultimately Lord Krishna and Lord Narayan, they are one and the same. So Lakshmi Devi has the right, it's the same person, so Lakshmi Devi has the right to climb for that position, to go to Krishna's pastime and then be one of the gopis and then enjoy with Krishna. There is nothing wrong, it's the same person." Then Mahaprabhu said, "Okay, they are the same person, but why is it mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that even though Lakshmi Devi performed austerities to attain Krishna in Srivan, in Vrindavan, still she couldn't attain Krishna?" Isn't it interesting? Okay, then there is something different. Okay, the same person, but you couldn't get Krishna. Why is it so? Okay, so Mahaprabhu made the point that, okay, Lakshmi Devi couldn't actually attain Krishna because she was not ready to give up her Aishwarya feature. So she couldn't give up her Aishwarya feature. This is mentioned in the Lakhu Bhagavatamrita. There is a conversation between the Lord and the Lakshmi Devi, where the Lord is telling, "Oh, you had to become a gopi, then you can come to Vrindavan. Then you cannot be the possessor of all the wealth. You cannot have the Shri, as it is mentioned. Vrindavane vrajathanam nanu kamadhenu vrindani cheni sukhasindura hovibhuti." It's an interesting verse. It is mentioned, the wealth of Vrindavan is the cows. The wealth of Vrindavan is the Kalpavruksha trees. The highest wealth of Vrindavan, as it is mentioned, is Vrindavane vrajathanam nanu kamadhenu. Kamadhenu, the cows are the wealth of Vrindavan. So you cannot have so much of wealthy ornaments. You know, that's not the wealth of Vrindavan. So that's difference. So Lakshmi Devi couldn't give up. So Venkatabhatta saying, you know, "Yeah, that's right." So Venkatabhatta said, "I know that you are the Supreme Lord himself." So Venkatabhatta got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So he understood, the person in front of me is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Venkatabhatta told Mahaprabhu, "You are the Lord himself. So what can I say? I am a conditioned jiva. What can I speak about such high elevated subject matter? Rather, you should speak." So Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, I will explain to you." Because then he explained this point, that Lakshmi Devi couldn't actually give up her position. So she didn't actually enter the pastimes of the Lord as Lakshmi Devi. Of course, we know Lakshmi Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So she is eternally present in another sense. Then he says, "Okay, Krishna is actually the Supreme Lord." He says, "Siddhantastu abhe devi shisha krishna sarupayoho raso utkrishyade krishna rupam esha rasasthitaha." This verse was first quoted by Venkatabhatta in the beginning of the conversation to establish that both Krishna and Narayan are one and the same. Siddhantastu abhe devi. That is, according to Tattva, there is no difference between Krishna and Narayan. Siddhantastu abhe devi shisha krishna sarupayoho. There is no difference between Sri Isha. Who is Sri Isha? He is Narayan. And Sri Isha Krishna Swarupayo and Krishna. There is no difference between them. However, there is a difference. What is the difference? Rasa Utkrishyate Krishna Rupam Esha Rasasitaha. However, the form, qualities and activities of Krishna is higher in terms of rasa. In terms of the mellow, in terms of the sweet dealings. That is Utkrishyate, that is superior. In that way, Krishna is superior. However, tattva, it is the same. In philosophy, it is one and the same. But in terms of rasa, Krishna is supreme. So Venkatabhatta completely accepted that Krishna is the supreme. So even though he was from the Ramanuja Sampradaya, from the Sri Sampradaya, still he accepted Krishna is the supreme. So such beautiful exchange took place. And Venkatapata's brother, Prabodhananda Saraswati, he was a sannyasi from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Ramananda Sampradaya. He also became a Gaudiya Vaishnava because of the influence of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu glorified Sri Vaishnavas there for their unalloyed devotional service, for pure bhakti, separate from jnana and karma. So there was such a beautiful exchange happened, and Mahaprabhu stayed there for 4 months. And now the Lord had to go further down in the South Indian Yatra. That time, all the devotees were devastated. Even Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, Tirumala Bhatta, Vengada Bhatta, and Gopala Bhatta started crying. He didn't want to leave Mahaprabhu. He was so attached to Mahaprabhu. Then Mahaprabhu told, "Don't worry, I bless you till your parents get very old and leave this world. You serve them, and once that duty is finished, you come to Vrindavan." So this was the instruction given by Mahaprabhu to Gopala Bhatta, because all of them wanted to travel with Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu didn't allow. Then Mahaprabhu left. Then we know that later Venkata Bhatta was feeling separation from Mahaprabhu, and he was thinking, when will I get the association of Mahaprabhu? When will I be able to see him again? He was continuing his life like that. He was a young boy, now he's growing up, he became teens. He was going on like that. Then his parents became older and older, and his parents called Gopala Bhatta and told, "We are getting older. After our departure, please don't forget that Mahaprabhu has instructed you to go to Vrindavan. So please go to Vrindavan." So the time came, his parents left this world, and then Gopala Bhatta went to Vrindavan. Similarly, one more person went to Vrindavan, that is Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, who shelter of complete shelter of Vrindavan. That's why in all his writings, he glorifies Vrindavan profusely. He shows that he's actually revealing the glories of Vrindavan, and he's showing the attachment, he's showing his attachment to Vrindavan and his humility as well. So Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he became a resident of Vrindavan, and Gopala Bhatta Goswami, he reaches Vrindavan and he takes shelter of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. They are the principal disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He takes the shelter of them, and Rupa and Sanatan treat Gopala Bhatta as the younger brother. So he look after them, and Gopala Bhatta Goswami starts serving Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami as menial servant. So even though it's mentioned before that, even before reaching Vrindavan, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur gave him education. He was well versed in Sanskrit grammar, rhetorics. He could compose poems. He could write profusely. He studied Vedanta Sutra and all other Vedic philosophies. He could do debate. So he became a scholar even before reaching Vrindavan. However, when he reached Vrindavan, he was simply doing menial service to Rupa and Sanatan. So they were very pleased by the very proper behavior of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. Then he became an editor to their writings. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they were profusely writing literatures. So it's mentioned that Gopala Bhatta Goswami assisted Sanatan Goswami in compiling Haribhakti Vilas. Haribhakti Vilas is describing the proper etiquette of devotees as well as an elaborate description of deity worship. So Gopala Bhatta Goswami assisted in compiling those literature. It's also mentioned that we hear about the Shat Sandarbhas. They are considered the philosophical peak of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which is written by Jiva Goswami. So the initial manuscripts of Shat Sandarbhas were written by Gopala Bhatta Goswami, and that's why if you read Tattva Sandarbha, in the beginning verses, Jiva Goswami is referring to Gopala Bhatta Goswami. He tells there is a Dakshinatyega Brahmana. There is a Brahmana from Dakshina, from the South India, who is a friend of Rupa and Sanatan. He has compiled this book initially, but it was not complete. There are many links were missing and it was not systematic. So I am putting that effort to compile this properly and systematically present. So in that way, Jiva Goswami is giving credit to Gopala Bhatta Goswami. Similarly, because of the affection of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, actually have written that this book was written, this Haribhakti Vilas was originally written by Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So he gave the credit to Gopala Bhatta Goswami like that. But Gopala Bhatta Goswami, in terms of his writing, he wrote the book of the Sakriya, the Kriya that we do. If you do the ritualistic ceremonies, if in our temple you can see Gangeshwar Prabhu do different rituals, you know, the different upacharas, all these ceremonies are done according to the book written by Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So he is known as Smriti Acharya. According to Smriti, he was an expert in Smriti. So he is a Smriti Acharya. He wrote the book how to perform all these ritualistic ceremonies for Grihastha Vaishnavas, like name giving ceremony, in tonsuring the head, and you know, Namakarana, you know, till Antyeshti, from before birth till Antyeshti, all the rituals how to perform, they are established by Gopala Bhatta Goswami. Now there are very interesting pastimes of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. One time Gopala Bhatta Goswami, he was in Vrindavan. Then he went to a place near Varanasi, where he met a Brahmana. So this Brahmana was serving Gopala Bhatta Goswami very nicely. And when he served very nicely, it's near Haridwar. He asked the Brahmana, "You are a bit morose, you are not so satisfied, what's happening?" So he understood that the Brahmana doesn't have a child. So Gopala Bhatta Goswami blessed this Brahmana that you will have a son, you will have a devotee will appear as your son. Then immediately this Brahmana was of such high caliber that he said that if I beget a child, if I have a child, I will give this child to you for Krishna service. He will serve you all his life. So I will donate my child to you. So Gopala Bhatta Goswami, he blessed and he left. And 10 years later, in Vrindavan, he found a young boy near his hut. So he asked, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am such and such. What's your father's name?" He said, "Such and such is my father, and I am coming from such and such village." Then Gopala Bhatta Goswami understood who is this boy. He said, "My father has sent me to serve you and dedicate my life unto you." So Gopala Bhatta Goswami, out of all fatherly affection, accepted this boy, and his name was Gopinath. He became Gopinath Pujari Goswami. So we'll explain how he became a Pujari. Gopala Bhatta Goswami, after Mahaprabhu, so while Mahaprabhu was present, Mahaprabhu came to know that Gopala Bhatta Goswami has taken shelter of Rupa and Sanatan. He became very pleased, and he sent some of his inner garments, some of his uttariya, the outer garment, and a pita, a seat on which he sits. He sent all of them as a gift to Gopala Bhatta Goswami, and Gopala Bhatta Goswami very happily receives all of them, and he starts worshipping all of them. And the seat of Mahaprabhu, he uses to worship the Lord. So he uses that the seat to worship the Lord, and all of them, all other paraphernalia, he worships. Then, after some time, Mahaprabhu left this world. He wound up his pastime. Then Gopala Bhatta Goswami was feeling so much of separation from Lord Chaitanya. So since he was feeling so much of separation from Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya comes to his dream and instructs him, "You go to Nepal, you go to Kali Gandagi, where all saligrams are there, and you worship me in the form of saligram shila." So immediately Gopala Bhatta Goswami, he leaves Vrindavan, he walks all the way to Nepal in Kali Gandagi. He goes to the Kali Gandagi river, and as he was taking bath, he put his kamandalu, you know, the kamandalu. Kamandalu means, you know, usually you can consider the gindi, which is the water pot with a handle on top like this. So there is a water pot and there is a handle. That's kamandalu. So he places his kamandalu under the water and just pulls his kamandalu with the water. Then he sees there are many saligrams inside the kamandalu. So he thinks, so saligram is Lord himself. So we have about 12 saligrams here. So he finds there are saligrams here. Then he understands, "Oh, how can I worship these saligrams? I am not qualified." So he leaves the saligram inside the Kali Gandagi. Then he takes his kamandalu. Then again there are saligrams inside. Then he, again he feels that, you know, I'm not qualified. He leaves the salagrams inside. And the third time when he pulls, he found 12 salagrams inside the pot, and then he understands that this is the will of the Lord and these lords must be worshipped. So he takes all these 12 salagrams and they become his worshipable lords. So 12 salagrams are considered very auspicious number. It's considered 12 salagrams are considered very auspicious. That's why we can see here. We have 12 salagrams here. And you know, two Giriraj and then one Dwarakashila. So we have very auspicious presence of salagrams. So yes, he starts worshipping Salagram Shila with out of love. He would sometimes cry, he offer different paraphernalia, he becomes ecstatic, he goes into ecstasy while worshipping the Salagram Shilas. Then after some time, he starts thinking, if I could have a deity, that would be very wonderful, because I can decorate them, I can offer all the upacharas in a better way. Because salagrams, we cannot see the hand, leg or threefold bending form, nothing is there. It's just shila, just like a stone. So he was thinking like that. And then a merchant who is very wealthy, he came along and he donated with a lot of ornaments for the Lord. Lot of ornaments. Then again he starts thinking, if I had a deity form of the Lord, I could have worshipped, but I have salagram. How can I decorate my salagram shila with so many ornaments? It's not possible. So in that way, he was thinking and he put all his salagram shilas to rest. And next day morning, he came and he woke them up and he saw that the middle shila which was present has turned into, manifest into a threefold bending form of Shyam Sundar Krishna. Here he saw the salagram. That salagram is not there anymore, but the beautiful deity of Krishna playing on the flute in the threefold bending form. He was amazed and he told this to Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. All of them came and all of them saw this beautiful form of the Lord, and this Lord is Radharaman ji. So he renamed him as Radharaman ji and established the temple of Radharaman ji. And that's why this boy who was Gopinath, he was entrusted as the pujari of the temple, and he became the Gopinath Pujari Goswami. And here, and we can see, and Gopalabhatta Goswami, when he left this world, Gopinath became the next pujari, and he remained a brahmachari, and some other people, they actually continued the worship. That's why there is a Goswami line coming in Radharaman temple, who are the worshippers of the Lord. So this is a very wonderful pastime, how the Lord reciprocated to his pure devotees. Then he also initiated many disciples. For example, Srinivas Acharya was given mantra diksha by Gopalabhatta Goswami. Also, there are many other devotees were initiated by Gopalabhatta Goswami. And in the spiritual world, it is mentioned there are two opinions about Gopalabhatta Goswami. It is mentioned that according to some authorities, he is Ananga Manjari in the spiritual world, and some other acharyas, he is Guna Manjari. So we don't know exact identity of Gopalabhatta Goswami in the spiritual world. Some people say it is Ananga Manjari and some people say it is Guna Manjari. So this is the glorious pastimes of, you know, Gopalabhatta Goswami. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or any comments. Yes, Prabhu.
This woman is talking about hearing how we love the body again and again, and it's hard to identify. I asked Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj about this.
Yeah.
Doing the virtual service for so long, and still we identify the body.
Yeah.
And we're told not to neglect the body at the same time. So how to know if one is identifying with the soul instead of the body? So he said that, of sphere, neglect of the body, doesn't mean we identify with the soul. But if we have great attachment to devotional service, then that's identification. Yes.
The comment by Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, that is, how can we understand, are we artificially neglecting the body? Are we acting on the soul platform? How can we distinguish between these two? Are we on actually bodily consciousness or soul consciousness? We mentioned that the artificial austerities for the body is not necessary, but we had to see how attentively, how properly we are performing devotional service. So, yes, because while doing devotional service, we are acting as the spirit soul. That is the activity of the spirit soul. Yatha bhakti athokshache. So when we are performing devotional service, we are acting as spirit soul. So attending Bhagavatam, you know, when we are hearing, we are thinking how we can apply, yes, we are acting as spirit soul. When we are doing our service properly, yeah, we are acting as spirit soul. Body needs to be taken care of as well. Yeah. Thank you. Anything else? Yes, Madhuri.
There's a nice book by Bhakti Chaitanya Swami.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's mentioned about, you know, you were mentioning about Radharaman's appearance. On Lord Narasimha's appearance day, Gopala Bhatta Goswami just couldn't help it, not having a deity in it. And then the next morning when he opened it down, so the appearance of Radharamanji is celebrated there.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice. That's a good point. That's a good addition. That is, you know, he had that strong desire on the appearance day of Lord Narasimha there. That's nice. Yeah. So next day after Narasimha Chaturdashi, so then it's the Radharamanji's appearance day. Nice point. Thank you. Any final points or any questions? Yes, Madhuri.
What are the different shaligrams that we have to worship the soul of people?
Okay. You can look at them first. Then I can start telling. So on the top left, okay, that is our Pradhan Shila, or the principal shaligram on top left, that is Trivikram. So on the top left you can see Trivikram. Then next to Trivikram there is a conch shell. And after that you can see Lord Narasimhadev. And you cannot miss Lord Narasimhadev because you can see his open mouth. Can you see him? With the open mouth. So Narasimhadev looks like Narasimhadev. Then next to him, on a very small Vyasasan, is Gopal. So Gopal, you can see his eyes and mouth and his tilak. Sometimes covered by the garland, but today you can see him. So on top right is Gopal. So on top leftmost is Trivikram. On the middle is Narasimhadev. And on the right is Gopal. Then bottom, leftmost, you can see, it's difficult to see from here, probably you'll have to go there, but there are four shilas on the leftmost asan bottom, of which the leftmost is, on the leftmost asan, the leftmost one is Kurma. And you can see him as Kurma. If you look carefully, you can see him as Kurma because he has a body like Kurma, you know, a tortoise body, you know, you can see the big body and a small head, so you can see Kurma. And next to Kurma, there are two Matsyas. So both the Matsyas are in the front. So you can see Kurma, next to him Matsya, and you can see another Matsya. And behind Matsya is Dwarakashila. So Dwarakashila, you know, there are some, you know, like holes, and it is whitish in color. So Dwarakashila. So there are four lords in the bottom leftmost asana. And next to that, next to Radha Govinda, so next to Krishna, small Krishna, there is an asana for Giriraj. So we can see two Giriraj there, left and right. Usually we worship as Radha and Krishna. So you can see around Krishna Gunjamala, and around both of them you can see the pearl necklace. So you can see that is the Giriraj. Then next to small Radharani, on the asana, we have, on the leftmost, you have Lord Ramachandra. And next to Lord Ramachandra, there is Varahadev. And next to Varahadev, there is Sudarshan. So, you can see next to small Krishna, first one is Lord Ramachandra. Then we have Varahadev. And then Sudarshan. Sudarshan has an interesting steel cap, steel head. Even the crown is put on top of that. Then rightmost, we can see, bottom rightmost, we can see two Anantas. So So Anantas, you can clear in one sense, you can see the hood of Ananta, two Anantas, snake head, two Anantas, and in the middle there is Hayagriva. So two Anantas and the middle Hayagriva. And Hayagriva, you, Haya means horse, yeah. Griva means the neck. So you can really see horse head. You can actually, Hayagriva, even though he is very small, you can really see the horse head. So these are our 12 Saligrams, two Giriraj and one Dwarakashila. Okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Alright then. Thank you very much. Granthraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopalapeta Goswami ki, Jayantai Gora Premande Hari Hari Bol.